Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast with me, Tim, with JB.
Hi, Tim.
And with Phil.
Hi, Tim.
How's your week been? All right? Oh, yeah. Jay, there's always something. Why can't you start?
I asked you for them.
Why can't you start a podcast organised?
I've got my
whether it's
I've
clear in your throat. There you go. I have some headphones. There you go.
Thank you, Tim.
That's 3 weeks on the bounce that you've ruined the start of our podcast.
Apologies.
Well, so let's just wait for JB then. Check he's ready.
There we go.
You all right?
Back in the game.
Good. How'd you get on at the weekend? How did Broughton Park do?
We actually won again. So, wow. 3 on the bounce now.
Wow.
We won 17-0. Interestingly, though, we were in the huddle. You know, like the half-time huddle, and everyone's doing the thing like, focus, it's on us, it's on us. And then a group of cheerleaders came up from nowhere. They started pumping up music, and the half-time team talk was ruined. I mean, we couldn't really focus on our coach's inspirational half-time team talk when there's a very flexible Chinese girl doing the splits on halfway.
Was this at Hof End?
Yeah. We had the MMU cheerleading squad perform half a dance before they were ushered off by the 20-stone Mark Lloyd.
And Phil, Sedgley Park rocketing up the table.
Yeah, I think we're still in fourth, but we won again. That's 8 on the bounce for us. Good result down in Birmingham in not great conditions against a team who've been playing very well.
Sweet.
All good.
And I watched a lot of rugby over the weekend, and we're going to get onto the European rugby. We've got today a Ben Foden Christmas special on the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast in Rugby Oki, where we celebrate the singing prowess of rugby players around the world. And we've been waiting for this for weeks.
Weeks.
It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. But I want to start us off. Andy Murray is the Sports Personality of the Year for 2013.
Ironically,
yeah. he covers off the sport thing quite well. The personality, not so much. So, which rugby player has less personality than Andy Murray?
Easy. Johnny Wilkinson.
I think definitely like 2003 Johnny Wilkinson. I think he's got a bit more personality as he's matured. Have you read his book or a clip from his book about when he won the World Cup? I think his words were, I just ran around throwing my hands up in the air, jumping about. I didn't know what to do. And then Tindall said that Wilkinson refused to drink on the plane journey back to Manchester, the one where Tindall famously put away 50-odd of the small beers.
Yeah.
So I think definitely then he was all about nutrition, training, focus.
I mean, that sort of dedication, and you know, again, having read books and you know, watched documentaries and stuff,
it's admirable. It is admirable. He's on the same team as Jason Leonard, you know, and he won a World Cup too. Don't forget,
Jason Leonard and Johnny Wilkinson. They were the two different eras of professional sport, and yeah, I think you got to doff your cap to Johnny because at the end of the day, that thing that you might call lack of personality won him a World Cup, won England their only World Cup.
It's fair to say any professional player post 2004 is boring with the exception of Nick Cummings.
The honey badger.
Yeah, he's got no danger of winning the least personality.
I remember when I was studying in Bath, I lived with two professional rugby players who were playing at Bath. They were kind of boring, but it's just they had no energy. They literally trained at the gym, trained, and then came back, and you didn't get a word out of them, and they just sat and played PlayStation.
Snorting lines of protein.
Yeah, exactly. Knocking it back, so fair enough. Well, I'd go for... You see, one player I just get this boring vibe from, but I don't think he is in any way, but Martin Corrie. I think maybe it's him as a player.
Oh, yeah. Maybe the style of play.
Yeah.
Mind you, he seems very excitable on that Holland the Barrett nutrition ad. So maybe we misjudged him.
And I have interviewed him and he's a really good bloke, so I feel bad for saying it, but that's just a suggestion.
Did either of you see Lee Halfpenny on Sports Personality of the
Year? I didn't watch any of it. What was it?
Realised last night that I don't think I've ever heard him speak before, and he was unbelievably dull.
Did
he had no charisma.
Just talking cliches.
Well, not even that. Like, he was barely answering, like, just getting kind of the most basic answer to a question. It was almost like one-word answers. He looked like he was genuinely struggling to get to string a few words together,
chat.
Just like I am now.
No chat. And that's, I think, generally speaking, we can say that rugby players have got good bant and good chat.
I think they're still above footballers, but I think they've fallen below cricketers. I think that's fair. In professional stakes. Would you rather go out for drinks with the England cricket team or England rugby team?
Well, that's an interesting one. Yeah, probably the England cricket team.
Damn right, be the England cricket team.
Yeah,
they do seem to cut loose a bit more.
They do.
Let's just think of the England cricket team. We've got Pedlo Gate. You've got Joe Root fighting in a bar.
Flint off after the Ashes 2005.
Oh, yeah, stumbling out of the Downing Street.
Downing Street, yeah.
Have you had anything to eat? I've had two cigars. last Ashes over here, they were caught relieving themselves on the Lord's pitch.
They were, weren't they? Yeah. When they were having a drink all together, they were having a knees up on the field.
Yeah.
And then
that sounds up on Lords. How cool would that be?
Yeah. Yeah, all right. You're right. You know, but I think possibly that's part, and this links into something we touched upon last week and has been in the news a lot, but the dedication that rugby players have to the physical side of the game has just gone through the roof, so it doesn't leave a lot of time, and you need to be totally dedicated. I mean, they're just massive men now. There was an article, and there was pictures of guys from 25 years ago and pictures of guys from now, and it's chalk and cheese.
Well, Saturday night, I went for a few drinks with my work's night out, and we went on a little away day to Chester.
Which member of staff did you cop off with?
You wouldn't know him, but my boss, Richard.
So, nice.
Just climbing that corporate ladder. anyway, completely coincidentally, RGC, my team from North Wales, actually had their Christmas night out in Chester. So I met up with them. They have a prop there, right, get this, who can bench press 170 kilograms. That's not impressive. The impressive part is he's 18. Yeah, exactly. When I met them out, it was 9 o'clock, and there's only, I think, four of them left drinking. The rest of them had sloped off to bed. So just to give you an idea, and that's not even a top-flight team. That's just a team.
Wow. All right, well, let's move on then to the European action over the weekend, Heineken Cup, and if anyone can be bothered, the Amelin Challenge Cup. What caught your eye?
I'll tell you what did catch my eye. Four elves in the Leinster game. Do you notice any elves?
I didn't see any elves.
No, I didn't. I must have missed that.
I saw Santa going round on his sleigh at half time.
Well, sorry to...
I have to say the pre-match and half time entertainment at Leinster, the Aviva Stadium, looked brilliant. Look.
Sorry to tell more tales, but on another Christmas party, my little brother organised his lads' night out, and he's given a budget, and he's got to surprise them on a Saturday what they're going to do. His surprise was four tickets to Dublin and four elf costumes. They were pretty wasted. They thought a good idea would be to go to the Northampton Leinster game. On the way in, a policeman gave him four free tickets. So he sat right at the front in the thing and was on TV two or three times.
So they bought tickets for Dublin speculatively?
Speculatively, yeah.
And got given free tickets?
Free tickets to Leinster, Northampton. That's pretty cool.
So that caught your eye. What about the action on the pitch? That was pretty amazing, wasn't it?
It was exceptional.
What a finish. And what a turnaround from last week.
I think that's what Leinster need, to give them the kick on, actually. I think Leinster, I mean, they might already be favourites, but if they're not, they've got to be up there.
I was looking today, they're fourth or fifth favourite.
Yeah.
The three big French teams are the top three.
Are we talking Toulouse,
Clermont?
Oh, I thought it showed just how much of a loss Sean O'Brien is, because that guy punches holes and gets behind gets over the gain line.
But I didn't think that was how Leinster beat Northampton last time. They beat them on, you know, on big plays, big turnovers. It wasn't consistently...
Big turnovers, yeah. Sean O'Brien.
And
then when they get the ball, he's just a wrecking ball that just makes he gets the defence on the back foot, and then you can go wide quickly. I just think he's the best player in Europe at the minute.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a huge statement to make.
Yeah, I think he is.
Fofana.
Oh, Fofana.
Fofana.
Yeah, he's pretty tidy, actually.
Let me come back to that. I'm sure I can think of someone.
And Munster as well. Was it about those two Irish provinces?
Well,
incredible finish in both games.
Witchcraft. Yeah. Witchcraft.
Unbelievable finish. Do you see the final try? Mm. The feat from... what was his name?
The lad that just came on.
Yeah, young lad.
Doherty, no. Not...
No, O'Harahan.
O's a good start.
Yeah. O apostrophe something, yeah. Anyway.
O'Harahan. And,
it was awesome footwork. Like you say, just came on for Keith Earls that got knocked into next week, just completely out of it. Came on, and yeah, unbelievable finish.
Did anyone see the Toulon game?
Yeah, I saw it, yeah.
Now, yeah. Exeter looked good. I'm going to put £10 on Exeter to win the Aviva now. I've decided.
On the wow,
win the Premiership.
I've decided they're going to make top four. That is going to happen. They are such a good team. Now
they punch above their weight so much. And did you see how many fans they took and how vocal their fans were? It's going to be become like the Exeter Chiefs podcast. This, because we're all having a bit of a loving with them.
And if it wasn't for that forward pass, and that, it was a forward pass.
Yeah, I cannot believe that went to the TMO and he gave it.
Yeah, it's something to do with for anyone who doesn't know, Tim is actually a qualified ref.
Yeah.
Now, they were saying it's something to do with the hands didn't go backwards. Or...
No, like the hands travelling backwards.
Yeah.
Even though the momentum of the ball was forwards.
You need a physicist to explain why, but the direction of your arms can be backwards.
When you're travelling forwards.
But when you're travelling forwards, it will travel forwards. But in real terms.
That went about 2 yards forward.
It was ridiculous.
That was forward.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it?
Toulon probably still would have ground it out.
Interesting. Well, do you know what? Pick of the weekend for me was... Well, I was match announcing at Sale Sharks versus Oyonna, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I had fun pronouncing the French names. That was a laugh. But I have to say, it wasn't televised. So you just have to take my word for it. Danny Cipriani is ready to pull on an England shirt again.
Wow.
I'm telling you. And it's nothing, no bias involved at all, because I've been critical of him in the past.
We started the podcast the first few weeks. I think we were very critical of him.
Well, rightly so as well.
Yeah.
He looked like he wasn't interested last year, but I don't know what's happened to him. But week on week, he's getting better. And I've not seen a more complete performance from a 10 in a while.
Well, the England 10 scene, I think, is about to get pretty tasty. I don't know if you've heard these rumours, but Freddie Burns to Leicester?
It's been muted because Toby Flood is still debating whether to sign his contract or not, and Leicester gave him...
Word is he's off to Toulon to replace Johnny Wilkinson.
You're kidding me.
No.
Leicester gave him 2 weeks.
Oh, God. Really?
That's a rumour I've heard.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good move for both.
That's a disastrous move. I mean, it's not a disastrous move because they don't ever have to play him. They've got Michalak and they've got Gitto.
Toby Flood would be good.
Oh, yeah.
At Toulon.
Oh, yeah. Average Toby Flood. For the very good Freddie Burns. That's a gem.
I'd take Flood ahead of Burns.
I'd take Flood ahead of Burns. I don't know how much the highlights will get it across, but Danny Cipriani was amazing. His kicking from hand was good. Looked like he had a real turn of pace, scored just a solo try. His more than anything, it was the decisions he making were all right. When he kicked, it was always in the right spot. Went to
I've noticed his kicking has become very, very effective.
It was a brilliant performance, and if you were Stuart Lancaster and watching that, you would have to go. He jumps up the pecking order, straight into the squad.
One of the things with Stuart Lancaster is that no individual is bigger than the team.
Yeah.
So will he put that to one side and bring Cipriani in, who can potentially be a bit disruptive because of the way he's been playing, or will he stick with the players that he's already got in the setup, who are already kind of used to playing that tactic, used to playing in the team role? Will he do it? Will he make a change?
I'll tell you what, we've got a treat as we're talking Danny Cipriani, and I don't know if this actually, on the strength of this alone, might actually make me decide that I don't care how good a player he is and how well he's playing, he doesn't deserve to be in the England team. This is a clip of him, which JB, you reminded us of. So do you want to give it a bit of context?
He's a boring man, and he likes to drink Nethquik.
This is him. This is Gabby Logan interviewing him for BBC Inside Sport.
Nethquik.
There's a little Nethquik. This is Danny Cipriani talking about his chosen refreshment.
I'm quite girly in the way I drink. I can't drink beer. Like, it doesn't sit with my stomach well at all.
So you're like a baby.
Which I guess is a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know, but...
Cheers.
Cheers. Nesquik chocolate.
So what would you drink then? If you had to have something.
Malibu and pineapple.
You're right, you are quite good.
What's an idea you drink?
That's what I'm Kelly Brook, exactly.
Kelly Brook! That's all I can think, Kelly Brook.
You can imagine, like, Kelly Brook and Danny Cipriani are at a bar and they go, yeah, can I have a gin and tonic and a Malibu and pineapple? And they would have given the drinks to the wrong person, wouldn't they? There you go, love. Enjoy Malibu and pineapple.
Nethquik chocolate. No, sorry, mate. Malibu and pineapple.
That's right. Gabby Logan comes round to your house. You don't make a chocolate Nesquik.
Cheers. Nesquik chocolate. Malibu and pineapple.
Wow. So that could be our England number 10. But then you can imagine Quade Cooper drinking much the same, can't you?
Yeah.
No, I imagine he drinks like very elaborate Hawaiian style cocktails.
Out of a coconut.
Yeah,
kind of
a
thing.
Coconut with a sparkler on it, and then throws the coconut through a window.
Those two were mates for a bit, weren't they? When Cipriani was living in Australia.
Really?
Nesquik chocolate.
Because I was following both their Twitter accounts at the time, and they kept on like meeting up with each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Malibu and pineapple.
Nesquik chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Right, let's move on.
Do you hear what happened to Worcester? I mean, obviously they lost their Worcester.
They kept Cecil Duckworth listened to the last podcast and called you up and said, do you want a job as director of rugby?
And I said, no, not with that squad. No, what happened apparently is there was fog on the runway. So
They only arrived just before kickoff.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So like the starting 15 got there, I think they had to fly to Toulouse and then bus it over or something like that, or they had to go direct. So the starting squad, starting 15 players, got there like 3 hours before the game. The substitutes and the coaching staff got there like an hour before the game. I mean, not it'd make much of a difference with their coaching staff. But the only guy that actually got there on time was the kit man who has to drive everywhere.
Drive the bus with all the...
Yeah.
Kit
wow.
And tackle,
so I do feel quite sorry for
them. And they only just lost as well, and they sort of threw it away a little bit. Right, well, we mentioned two matches, Leinster and Munster, both amazing games and grandstand finishes. So I'm just wondering if you've had any like dramatic finishes in your own rugby matches at whatever level it was, whether school or whatever. Have you had any like real last minute ones, particularly ones where there's a lot on the line in the match, Phil?
I mentioned one a few weeks ago against Newbury when we're two tries down. And scored two to win in the last minute. There's another one, I think it was my first year of uni, playing second team rugby up at Lancaster, and top two teams in the league, final game of the season, both going for the title, and we were down by 3 points and scored a try. I scored in the corner in the last second.
Wow.
To take the league.
Oh, what
league
was
title.
That feeling like?
It was pretty good. And then got dived on by a 40-odd stone combined of prop.
The only one I can remember that really stands out, and it was heartbreaking. So I know how Perpignan will have been feeling. Playing for Bath University in a Booster knockout match with a game at Twickenham at stake. The last minute. We got a penalty in their half. We were 1 point ahead, and we got a penalty. And I said, kick it in the corner, where there was like a minute left.
Run the clock down.
I said, kick it into the corner, and we'll run the clock down. If we score a try, fine, but we'll just stick it up our jumper. I got overruled on that one, and we kicked for posts. Got the points, but the reason I wanted to kick to the corner is because that would only put us four ahead and then they'd have a kickoff. And then what happened? Kickoff.
They
whacked it high. They won the kickoff, scored.
Were you playing for Broughton Park for the famous Connor Gate?
When he kicked?
Yeah.
Penalties?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there for that.
I watched one game.
We had a prop kicking up. We had a tight end
awesome.
Prop kicking our penalties.
Well, we had a situation where we didn't really have a kicker. So in the rare event that we do score, he actually had to take the kicks. So I think we were 1 point down at this point. So they'd scored a try and penalty. We scored a converted try. It's into the wind. It's between, like, say, the 22 and the 10, and our coach is going mental. They're shouting, corner! Corner! In the wind, it sounds like Connor. So our captain turns around and goes, Connor! Gave him the kicking tee, and he slotted it.
That was great.
That was an awesome win.
Well, we've got a little break from European action, of course. It's back to the Premiership, which we will preview fully on Friday's podcast. Thank Rockets Friday, so make sure you give that a listen. But it's this is the last podcast before Christmas. We've got a well-earned break. So we're going to exchange Secret Santa gifts now between each other. We're going to bring a little audio gift for the podcast right now. So
here you are, Tim. Here's my nicely wrapped gift.
Yeah. What is it?
This is Brian Moore being Brian Moore.
So England in possession. They haven't had much of this ball
and
at all.
And they kicked it away again.
Toby Flood.
God's sake!
What's a Lucy?
Can you imagine?
That was England against Italy, and this other one you've given me is England against France, Jay.
Tarduk. What's Kim Bosso?
What is he even doing there? You're a fullback. Get behind the back line.
It's incredible, isn't it? It sounds like a man
still going on. Get in the back line.
It sounds like a man with a couple of cans of Stones watching the rugby league in his own house. That's what it sounds like. Not a solicitor who's commentating on national TV.
Right. Well, I'll provide my secret Santa Christmas gift then, and I've gone for our egg-shaped ball cousins in America. This so American football, and this is a guy who he currently plays for the New York Jets, and he was a rookie, so it was his first ever game. Got called up because there was loads of injuries, and he made a couple of amazing interceptions, so of course they want to put him in front of the cameras and get him interviewed afterwards. He'd never done an interview to camera. He's not media trained.
Poor boy.
I was just reading, right?
So that's him. It goes on, unfortunately, for him.
He could actually be on this podcast.
That wouldn't be a problem. How much of a sense of urgency do you feel?
I was a 7-round pick, so I was just working hard in the offseason.
Think maybe you're
going higher? No, sir. I was hearing calls, but I went really mad or nothing though.
Poor guy.
Poor man.
Poor guy.
Poor fella.
Harrowing.
He doesn't do many chats these days. Phil, secret Santa gift from you.
My special gift to you two,
and to all of our wonderful Egg Chaser listeners.
Exactly.
Yes, and to everyone listening, is Republic of Telly an anthem for rugby? Which is a song a few years old now. But
this was on RTE in Ireland, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah, that's the one. I was watching it live.
Yeah, and it's basically poking fun at rugby being a little bit homoerotic.
Yes.
I know you're angry and I know you're ashamed. I'm kind of feeling the same. But we can hide our love if we pretend it's a game and give it a secret name. Let's call it rugby.
Nice.
Let's call it rugby. And I bet that pretty soon all our showers could be communal.
Yeah.
And no one would suspect a thing. And when people ask what are 15 guys doing sticking their heads between each other's thighs, we'll just tell them that we're practicing.
Say we're rocking when really we're fooling the world.
Very good. I'll post it at Rugby right. Podcast on Twitter. That's really good, Phil. Nice one.
I'm getting confused. Are the Irish funny or are they not? Because I've had two or three good videos now from Irish comedians.
That's some really, really good stuff.
But most of their stuff is nonsense.
Hi to our listeners in Ireland.
Yeah, we do seem to have a few listeners in Ireland as well.
Do we?
Despite you trying to segregate them and alienate
Jay. That's what we call him now. No, it was quality and well worth checking out the video that goes with that at Rugby Podcast. So yeah, that was our little secret Santa gift. Merry Christmas and all that.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas, guys. All right, I'll tell you what we should talk about. We should talk about the fact, now we've just had a weekend where all we did was watch rugby on Sky. We're going to go to a weekend ahead where all we do is watch rugby on BT Sport.
Yes, a real broadcaster.
So, well, this is what I wanted to ask. Who does it better and what are the merits of each? And if you had to hand all the rugby to one or the other, who would you go with?
I would go BT Sport if they could have Will Greenwood.
He is really good, isn't he?
He's awesome.
Yeah, his analysis is excellent.
He's a difference maker. A game changer, you might say.
He is a game changer.
And he has to put up with those bumbling imbeciles.
Stuart Barnes.
I seem to be the only person that actually quite likes Stuart Barnes.
Sorry?
I know.
I cannot stand the man.
I remember where...
What is it?
He just seems to have no understanding of the game of rugby.
I like the... Who's the guy that does the little interview pieces? And he always wears like a barber jacket.
BT Sport.
No, on Sky, the guy that does the little interview pieces. When they have the shit. No, he's the commentator. When they have the shaky camera bits and they have the little camera shots that zoom in and out.
No, tell you what, that is annoying. Sky Sports can't seem to do an interview without having someone not in focus at any one time.
They have to have stuff not in focus, shaky camera, zoom in, zoom out quickly.
I kind of wonder if they're hiring like cameramen from an old people's home or, you know.
Bearing in mind what we had before Sky Sports was Rugby Special with John Inverdale.
Anyone can cover sport better than BBC. So
I have to say, how dull is BBC coverage?
Brian Moore can sometimes be interesting when he loses
it. Good, actually.
And it kicked it away again. Don't sink.
If you're ranking it, I'd go BBC bottom of the pile. I like Sky Sports. Now BT Sports have made them look old school.
Absolutely.
They've come in and they've just gone, we're going to do it in a lot more relaxed fashion.
I don't think people give ITV enough credit for the Aviva Roundup.
Well, didn't...
That's a great show.
Their team last year was Flatman and Bayfield with Craig Doyle, who've all now gone to BT Sports.
And Craig Doyle is excellent as an anchor.
I think he's awesome.
That's what Sky miss. He's a real good... Because that Alex Payne... You know,
looks a bit like a trainee doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. What does he do?
Well, he was on that. I'm sure he went to like do breakfast TV or something and then disappeared from rugby. I think he's back in rugby now, actually. In fact, he might be at BT Sport, in which case, if he is, he's an excellent anchor.
We can't be biased on this.
We're not biased. I'm just saying.
Just because we're going to BT Sport.
I'm a straight shooter. I just say what I see.
I do think that BT Sport have like brought it into the 21st century, but I'm really grateful for Sky. And actually, think back 10, 15 years.
I tell you what.
We had no Super Rugby on the telly, all we had was John Inverdale.
But no one rivals Eddie and Steve-O.
Well, I was going to say rugby league. Oh, the most confusing presenter for a rugby program I've ever seen. I don't know if she's still doing it, but Claire Balding being given the rugby league on BBC.
Really?
Yeah. Did you not see that a few years ago?
No.
She might still be doing it.
Wow.
But it's complete mismatch.
Sky's coverage of rugby league is that good. Mm. If you want to talk about taking risks, they've got the swingometer. They've got the...
Tri-tracker.
The tri-tracker, yeah. They've got the little thing to highlight where the kickers have to kick it. Obviously, the posts aren't quite enough. They've got the mechanical scoreboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible piece of engineering.
If you had to pick one person, like all rugby was going to be done by one broadcaster.
So let's rank... Let's rank the coverage first. So number one, Sky Sports Rugby League. Number two, BT Sport Rugby Union. 3 ITV, 4 Sky.
No, I think Sky.
Sky are better than that.
I think BT Sport have modernised it and I think that puts them number one, but I still appreciate Sky. They're getting a bit of stick, but I still like them.
Yeah, they're getting a bit of stick.
Their podcast isn't doing as well as ours is in
not?
The rugby
still?
Charts, no.
Well, if Mr Murdoch wants to buy our podcast...
Yeah, we're open for business.
Absolutely.
Right then, so do you know what I think we should do now?
Go on.
Rugby Oki.
Yes.
Yes.
We've been waiting for weeks for this. So, Rugby Oki is our celebration of rugby players and their love of singing. And some of them aren't shy in coming forward. The first one we had and featured was Alex Corbisiero and his rap.
Keep it kind of quiet, people on a diet. Scrum is straight, term is right,
I don't deny it.
Test me, try it. Style, you don't buy it. I'ma grab the microphone and start to fly it. Up, up, high, grab the mic and make you cry. Told you before we represent L.I. London, Irish, you can't deny this. So, so sick, a tenant, you can't buy this.
So that's Eminem doing Alex Corbisiero.
Yeah. There was Matt Stevens, there's been Ricky Flutie, there's been rugby league player Sam Burgess, there's been rugby league, soon to be rugby union player Benji Marshall.
Creepy Sam.
Sam Tiday. There's been that young Leicester player. There's been loads and loads and loads.
Who's young Leicester? Sevens.
And there was also Ben Foden very early on. And today we're about to hear something we've been saving for weeks and weeks because it's the right time. It's nearly Christmas.
Foden's back.
Ben Foden's Christmas special, Rugby Oki. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Ben Foden and his missus, the lovely, it has to be said, Una from the Saturdays.
Delicious. I mean, nice. Talented.
Singing Wham's Last Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I wrapped it up in city with the note saying I loved you by me. Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This
cheer, save me from tears. I give it to someone special.
Special.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
Give you my heart.
The next day, you
give it away.
This makes you appreciate George Michael, doesn't it?
Save me from tears. I give it
wait for it, wait.
Someone special.
Merry Christmas, Dan.
Merry Christmas, Una. Oh! This, like, can I give away a trade secret? This is all on his website. He's got a website, right, which I think has got about...
BenFoden15.com or something.
Yeah, I think it's got 12 hits on, and that's because me and Tim go on there and you know, pull off his songs. And that's it. You have to be a serious narcissist to put yourself up singing. Anyway, is it true that him and Alex Corbisero don't speak anymore?
What? Northampton teammates, that can't be true.
Apparently,
Northampton and England teammates.
Apparently, Rugby Oki has driven a wedge.
Oh, they're vying for the number one spot.
Team room, yeah.
Well, that was never our intention, Alex, Ben. That was never our intention. You're both equally brilliant.
Yeah, they had a fight. Actual fist fight over this. Well, it's a rumour, but yeah, that's actually what happened.
They've had a fist fight over it.
Well, I mean, I think Alex Corbisero has been on top of the pile now for quite some time, and I reckon Ben Foden doing the special, it can't do much for their relationship.
No, that's gonna drive a wedge. Mm. Jim Mallander's got some man management to do after that. Yeah. Well, that wasn't our intention, Ben. We were just trying to showcase your talents. Alex, as far as I'm concerned, I think you should celebrate Ben's talents and you should be confident in your own ability to rap. Maybe you could have added a little rap interlude within that song.
That would be the perfect way.
That would build a bridge.
Yeah, it would. The perfect way for them to make up.
Did you see Corbisero on Sports Personality of the Year?
No.
No. Was he rapping?
No.
I saw him at the Mobos.
But... he was on crutches, so perhaps Ben Foden has Tonya Harding'd.
That's exactly what
Alex Corbisero and taken a crowbar to his knee to get some of the limelight back onto
Ben Foden. That film Misery.
That Foden.
He's just taken a sledgehammer to his legs.
That Foden's unbelievable, you know.
Allegedly,
he's a piece of work, isn't he? He really is a piece of work, Mr. Foden. Mr. Foden, you're a disgrace. We're calling the authorities as soon as this podcast is over. Expect a visit from Northampton Constabulary any time now. That's shocking. In fact, I feel guilty for playing Ben Foden's song now.
Yeah,
we're almost condoning criminality and assault.
Oh, but there will be retribution. There will be.
Corbisero, I mean, he's got some connected mates. He's American, yeah. Corbisero is American. He's sort of Italian American.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got mafia connections. Yeah. So
and Foden's from Chester.
Foden, you could be sleeping with the fishes. It was nice knowing you. Thanks for the song. I've actually got another Christmas song, which is a bit of a surprise that you didn't know. Ooh. I was going to deliver. This one, it was my brother that actually flagged this up to me. He went, you know, your Christmas Rugby Oki Ben Foden thing. He called me and went, I've got something you might want. And he pointed me to a Nottingham Rugby Christmas song. And it was when he was there a few years ago, before he moved to London Irish. And it features Ayula Erinley.
Wow. The Brain Box.
Yeah. And other assorted Nottingham players. And it's their version of the Pogues' Fairy Tale of New York, called Fairy Tale of Nottingham.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever done anything like this with teams you've been in?
No.
Sedgley Park, haven't thought of this?
Thank God.
We did a Harlem Shake once.
Did you?
Yeah.
How did that go down?
Really well. It was good. Anyway, let's hear this.
This is the Fairy Tale of Nottingham, Nottingham Rugby Club, doing the Pogues.
It's Christmas Eve, guys, up at Rotherham, an old man said to me, this could be our year, so happy Christmas, I love you, Nottingham,
I can
see the playoffs. Where all our dreams come true.
Right, so that's like the intro. Right, there's one bit I want to draw your attention to. Now, I mentioned him earlier. Ayula Erinley won the Heineken Cup with Wasps.
Yep.
Got an England cap.
Yeah, a couple of
England caps. And what has won Countdown in the past? Check out his voice.
We could be in the press. Well, so could anyone.
He features him a bit more in a second.
I set my sights on this. When I first joined you, keep your feet on the ground. The league's so tight now,
The playoffs are in our sights. I built my dreams around them.
It's like Andre the Giant.
Oh, my God. You dare to dream. Let that man loose.
So Sedgley Park aren't going to be rushing to do a fairy tale of North Manchester anytime soon?
I certainly hope not.
I build my dreams around them.
Don't give them any ideas.
Right. I'd love him on as a guest.
Ayula Rinley?
Yeah.
Yeah, really interesting guy. I don't know, what is he playing still? He must be. Has he gone back to France?
France.
He had that time at Biarritz as well, didn't he?
He did have a long time at Biarritz, I think.
His Wikipedia page lists him at US Carcassonne, Division 2 in France.
Ayula, you've got an open invitation to come on the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast.
To be fair,
any time.
Anyone who's a professional rugby player has an open invitation.
Which should be our New Year's resolution, maybe.
Get someone on.
Yeah.
You keep threatening us with the... Well, certainly getting Carl Ferns to do some singing for us.
Oh, yeah, Carl Ferns doing Michael Bublé.
I know. I missed the opportunity in Bath to collar him, mainly because our mutual friend wouldn't let me talk to him, said I had a chew off his ear. May have had a point.
Yeah.
I failed.
We'll work on that one. But we've brought you the Ben Foden Christmas special there in Rugby Oki, and leaves us on the podcast just one more task, and that is to choose our final Dream 15 of 2013. And the Dream 15 this week is, I think, a really good suggestion. Phil came up with it, so I'll let you take centre stage, Phil.
So my suggestion was the Egg Chasers' most talked about Dream 15. So it's of 2013, that is. So it's not necessarily the best players, it's the players that we've kind of spoke about most. So in some cases, it will be the best player of the year.
Yeah, because their rugby playing has done all the talking, exactly.
Yeah, the rugby playing's done all the talking, but other times they're off-field or some howlers have done the talking for them, or just some of us have a special affinity with some players, so they get mentioned week in, week out.
JB, Andy Goode.
Jack Berger.
I've not mentioned Jack for a couple of weeks now.
Well, a couple of hours, a couple of minutes. You're just on this podcast.
I've not watched a Jack Berger YouTube video for 2 days.
Wow. Getting withdrawal symptoms.
Cold turkey.
Right then, so we'll start in the front row. So I talked about 15 for 2013.
Alex Corbisiero.
Definitely, of course, with his rapping skills. We all agree on that one, as we just showcased the moments ago.
Absolutely has to be Lucid.
Hibbard.
Yeah.
Also starred in Rugby Social. The feature we should bring back.
Rugby Social, what was that?
When you read out the tweets. You have to guess the tweets.
Oh, yeah.
I'd also like...
I've forgotten about that.
That
was a really good game. I'm right in making a note of that, Jim.
Yeah,
well done.
I was wondering whatever happened to Rugby Social.
I'd also put forward... We've probably not talked about him enough, Bismarck Duplessis.
Not talked about him at all, have we, except for the Brothers 15?
Well, he's not going, what a ridiculous specimen he is.
Yeah, incredible player. Well, we did speak about his huge hit on Dan Carter that was legal, that Romain Quatt sent him off for. We didn't talk about him turning down Toulon this year.
On what basis?
His father's ill, and so he said he wanted to stay in South Africa to be close to his father.
Oh dear.
So he could have been up there.
Yeah, Bismarck could have been up there. Maybe should have been if we'd given him the credit he deserved.
Oh, if he knew anything about rugby, we would have mentioned him.
There's only one tight head, really, isn't there? I could stay away. The oversized-headed Matt Stevens, maybe.
We have
potentially.
We have mentioned the sublime Adam Jones quite a lot.
We have.
Yeah.
And the horrendously out of shape Evian Lewis Roberts.
And Darren Morris, we mentioned Darren Morris.
And Martin Madden.
Yes, of course.
Take your pick of the out-of-shape Welsh props. Who do you want to go for tight head? It's your position, Jay, go on.
No, this weekend I was six, then loose head.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, shows what high standard that we play at. Adam Jones.
All right, Adam Jones. He did have he was so important to that Lions series victory, wasn't he?
Does anyone get any more plaudits for standing still and pushing hard? So
Adam Jones, Hibbard, and Corbisiero. Well done. Second row.
Dean Mum.
Yes. Been mentioned a few times.
Twice in the Dream Team.
We love Dean Mum.
Captain of our favourite team.
Yeah.
Dean Mum.
Yeah, and he also got mentioned for his celebration, the Exeter.
Oh, the Fend.
The Fend and the Exeter
bizarre knob stroking celebration.
Have we got to the bottom of that yet?
No, we haven't.
Because I hear it is an official celebration.
It's an official celebration where one of them will go up and furiously rub the other one in the crotch.
Yeah, give him a Tug Wilson.
It is the oddest thing I've ever seen, but clearly good for team bonding.
Yeah.
I love mentioning Jamie Cudmore whenever I can.
Yes.
Cudmore's in.
The enforcer. Done.
Jamie Cudmore, one of the hardest men in world rugby.
He had a scrap on the weekend with Scott Williams, did he not?
Yeah, there was fist flying everywhere in that.
Into the back row there.
Budget.
Nathan, your budget.
Jack Berger. Okay, let's be serious. Jack Berger.
Yeah, Jack Berger's at seven, isn't he? Definitely.
Mamuka Gorgodza.
Yeah, Mamuka Gorgodza, thank you.
And Arthur Lemon. Neath number eight.
From the Food 15.
That, yeah.
It's got to be Kieran Reid, let's face it. The amount of times we've just... And, you know, lots of people have recognised him as the IRB Player of the Year, but the amount of times we've just been amazed at how good he is. And he doesn't... Just to look at him, if you stood Kieran Reid and Pierre Spiess next to each other and go pick the IRB World Player of the Year, you'd never pick Kieran Reid. They wouldn't
pick the oversized office worker. That's what he looks like. Yeah. He just looks like a guy.
But he's had an amazing year.
Yeah, so. Sublime all year round. Absolutely superb.
Nine?
Into the backs.
Well, Mike Phillips has more than enough airtime here.
Mike Phillips both on the field for Lions and Wales and off the field for...
Getting sacked. Boozing.
Getting sacked and boozing. The latest, I've just popped up on Wales Online. Mike Phillips would like a serious girlfriend. I'd like a serious relationship and kids like...
I bet he tells them
like
they're
my
all
brothers.
Serious.
Yeah. You're the one, babe. Come on. Mind you, he doesn't need to do that.
I don't like the way people judge me.
Just look at Mike Phillips. He could probably just go, I'm just going to use you. I really don't care about you. Okay. Fly half.
Andy Goode.
Yeah, a lot of choice here. Quaid Cooper.
Or Andy Goode.
Danny Cipriani.
Or Andy Goode.
Owen Farrell.
Andy Goode.
Just because you've mentioned
him. Yeah, but the flip side is it's like Andy Goode's kryptonite is Owen Farrell for JB. You hate Owen Farrell as much as you love Andy Goode.
Andy Goode's an incredible player. Incredible man, incredible player, incredible human being.
Fine.
So are we going for Andy Goode?
Of course we're going for Andy Goode.
The amount of airtime we've given him on the podcast, I reckon so.
Okay, I'm up for that.
Into the backs then. Now, again, we can juggle positions around, but surely on one wing, it's got to be the Honey Badger.
Yes.
Nick Cummins.
Yeah.
Honey Badger 11. 12.
Henson?
I don't think so. For playing superbly, Jean de Villiers could be up there.
He's been
outstanding. So just
to recap, we're sort of celebrating both on the field prowess and like off the field antics, pretty much.
It's like what's the very famous award, which Time Magazine Man of the Year. You don't need to be the best man of the year; just the most spoke about, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
This year the Pope won it, but then Assad came second. So, you know, okay. Man of the year.
Sonny Bill, even though he's...
Sonny Bill. Oh, what a guy.
Even though he's not been playing Union, we still speak about him every couple of weeks.
He's just an incredible
man.
And if you're not speaking
about him, you're probably thinking about him.
Yeah.
Thinking about him topless, boxing or working out.
Yeah, he was working out for boxing, skipping a rope.
Yeah, bro, just working out for boxing, bro. Yeah, what a guy. What a guy he is. Come on then, Phil, pick a 12.
Shall we go for Sonny Bill then?
Go on then, Sonny Bill.
JJ Engelbrecht.
Yeah, I was going to say 13. I'd love JJ Engelbrecht. But it should really be a straight shootout between O'Driscoll and Jonathan Davis.
And let's, you can't say Warren Gatland was wrong to pick Jonathan Davies, but let's pick O'Driscoll because 30, what is he, 35?
I think he's just turned 34.
Is he getting better at rugby?
He's doing gigs where he's changing his, he's adapting his game.
If he keeps on playing the way he is, he'll make the next World Cup.
I think he'd be 36 for the start of the next World Cup.
It's different, like you say, Phil, it's different.
He's not the searing
outside break anymore. It's just sort of intelligent angles and solid defence.
He's handling.
Awesome, exactly.
I do think that in the Lions, certainly the first few games, I don't think he played particularly well. I think Gatland at the time made the right call.
Yeah, but look at him in the Harrington Cup. If you want to week in, week out, just be awesome.
Recently, he's been unbelievable.
And if you'd want someone like that in your squad for the World Cup, wouldn't you?
Yeah, even just for the experience to have him there.
Just, you know, you got a tense game, 10 minutes left, send on him, even if he's not starting. O'Driscoll in, right wing then. Israel Folau?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no, hold on. Where's George North?
George North.
Oh, do we have to knock the Honey Badger out?
No.
Oh, no, we can't. Surely we can't.
No, we can't knock the Honey Badger out. So Nick Cummins.
Oh, we could put Folau at
fullback.
15.
Well, if we decide to. George North, defo.
Yeah.
The guy's a freak. Played at outside centre, as you called it. You should give him a go at outside centre, Jay.
Gatland's been talking about for ages.
Yeah, he played really well as well.
Did he? I didn't see the whole try.
And his hands were good as well, like creating space for people outside him because he sucks defenders in.
Oh, he gave an absolutely amazing lift, just to, sucked in two or three defenders.
To Kempisi when he burst through,
Those PC boys are rapid as well. If they can get all of them on the field at the same time.
And also, just for that wonder try in the first test for the Lions, and also for picking up Israel Folau and carrying him when Folau tried to tackle him.
Yes.
What a lad.
Agreed.
George North, you're in. You're in our 15 of 2013. And at number 15 then, so Israel Folau's got to be mentioned, because what a breakthrough year. He's been one of the best players on the planet. But then...
Halfpenny's been superb.
Yeah.
Kirtley Beale during the Lions test was everyone was talking about him, but not so much anymore. He didn't even come on the end-of-year tests.
So it's basically, I'd say on that... Oh, James O'Connor. My God.
Yeah.
Do we put James O'Connor in at 12 and take out Sonny Bill?
No. I think I'm mildly offended.
Do we slot James O'Connor in at 10 and take out Andy Goode? I thought you were going to do a. I thought you were going to do a Foden on me and kneecap me like you did to Corvisiero.
Yeah, that Foden. Oh, Foden.
So Halfpenny, James O'Connor, Israel Folau,
or Foden,
or
Israel
Foden,
or Foden
or
himself,
The
crowbar. And Israel Folau because he deserves it. Ben Foden because he's got a beautiful wife.
And how many times has Foden been mentioned on the podcast?
Foden's in.
A lot. Foden.
Foden. Ben Foden.
One of the lads I play
with... And his wife is spectacular.
One of the lads I play with was listening to the podcast the other week, and he mentioned that, Ben Foden auditioned for Pop Idol, we mentioned it earlier. Apparently, he sung Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. So, some homework, Cocker. If you can get some footage, some audio of that... That would be incredible.
I use my media contacts.
Alongside the responses from the judges.
Oh, wow.
How amazing would that
be? Because I'm sure there's that sort of coverage for Scipione somewhere where they tell him he's too small.
Yes, there is when he was on My Sweet 16 UK.
I would try and torrent that, but I'm pretty sure My Sweet 16 UK on torrent isn't what we want.
Safe search on.
So can we just say that this team's going to play it six ways and they're going to be managed by Les Kiss as well?
That is our Dream 15, and that is the Egg Chasers podcast. Is there a Monday in between Christmas and New Year?
Yes, there is.
Or maybe we'll do one then.
The 30th.
And we'll have games as well to talk about.
Yeah, we will. Sorry, I take it back. Not the last one of 2013 then at all.
There's a full fixture schedule on the 28th, 29th.
Yeah.
So on the 30th, Monday, we can be back.
Oh, hell yeah. Thank you. Have a lovely Christmas. Thanks for listening as well. We've been doing this a few months now.
Yeah.
What is this, episode?
Episode 14, so 3.5 months.
Very hell.
And we've really enjoyed doing it.
And we've slowly whittled down our listener base. So. Well then, guys,
We're doing really well. We're doing well. And like I say, big plans for the new year. So nice one for being with us, and have a merry Christmas. How do you want to sing us out? Do I need to ask?
Nah.
Mr. Foden.
Mr. Foden.
I'd say
Christmas.
I'd say so.
Mr. Foden, off you go.
Merry Christmas. I've wrapped it up in sandy with a note saying that. Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I give it to someone special.
Special.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart,
give you my
the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I give it to someone special.
Merry Christmas, Ben.
Merry Christmas,
Sabina. Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.